price from 2011 up to this year from roughly 900 million, and you can now take the respective slide to visualize it also. It's the next slide, please. Where you see how we step by step reduced our net debt position up to 149 million plus end of 22. And this now gives us the possibility to start with all the projects that have been delayed, unfortunately, by COVID and the problems accompanied by that. We also reported a very robust equity ratio of 65.1%, as you see in the slide, the previous slide, and our cash flow from operating activities increased to 337 million compared to 105 million last year. Given that a positive development, our dividend proposal to the annual general assembly will be 60% of the group net profit, so exactly what it was in 2019. That equals 77 cents per share. And if things go as well as we expect them right now for 23, we will be in the position to even increase the payout ratio for 2023. So to let our shareholders participate on the favorable development of our company. I think one essential pillar of the positive development of our company is the fact that we are listed on the stock market, and this is what we think would also be the best for the company in the years to come, and therefore we will support to the utmost possible extent to maintain the free float as an important corporate objective. If we look in detail, you see that our EBITDA doubled almost compared to 2021. And overall, we could increase and improve the productivity. Our EBITDA margin should be again above 40%, so more or less at the level we saw pre-crisis years. The earnings before interest and taxes were at 167. Financial results improved to 9.3 million minus, and you know that we are still repaying the EIB loan. In this respect, the rising interest rates are favorable for our company because perhaps we reach the level of the interest rate that we have to pay for this loan. And this would enable us then to repay the loan in total or even major parts of it. And by doing that, we would also have benefits for the coming years in respect of a better or even positive financial result. Earning before tax at 157 compared to 9.5, and net profit after non-controlling interest 107.9. You might ask why there is such a difference this year between net profit for the period and after non-controlling interest. That has to be attributed to an extraordinary positive result of our subsidiary in Malta. If we look ahead for 23, I think from today's perspective, we will see further growth, both on the passenger side, but also on our airport city and business location projects. And a considerable number of companies already opted to come to the airport. Especially, I would point out one company. It's Enpulsion. You may have not heard of them before, but it's a highly innovative, very fastly growing company from Wiener Neustadt in Austria. And they are producing satellite propulsion systems, especially for the Elon Musk Starlink project. And they are growing on a very, very high speed. And they rent roughly 4,600 square meters and have an option for another 2,300. So the facilities that have been left by Austrian in the crisis are now more or less again rented to this company, and they will produce on the airport. Our investment next year should go up to 135 million. It includes the start of the Southern Enlargement Terminal project and the further expansion of our photovoltaic facilities, which will be increased to roughly 45 hectares, and the production of roughly 45 million kilowatt hours, which equals 40 to 45% of the electricity consumption of the total system on the airport. So not only the airport itself, but also the companies that are working here. All these investments, as you will see, are financed from our cash flow, and we expect the revenues of about 830 million, an EBITDA of at least 325 million, and net profit exceeding 150 million. We are operating CO2 neutral since the start of January 23, and our sustainability goal for 2033 will be to get a net zero status, and we will really concentrate on further improving all our activities in regard of technology, of energy consumption optimization, and even of production on our own. So let's move on to the operating expenses. Clearly, you see that hand in hand with the increased traffic, our consumables and services used went up. But I have to stress that energy prices did not very much hurt us because we had a very conservative purchasing strategy in place since years. So we have bought electricity for 22 already in 2019 and 2018, and we have provided already roughly 25% by our own PV production. Personnel costs clearly went up substantially, and what you have to understand there is that we added roughly 12 million to personnel provisions because you may be aware that we reduced our staff in the period of Corona by roughly 1,000 heads, and we put 280 people in our new placement agency, and for most of them, so more than 200, we found new jobs inside the company or outside the company, and there is a rest of roughly 50 people, mostly ill people who are handicapped and cannot do the work they did before, and they have a fixed contract, so they cannot be laid off, and therefore we made a provision for all future potential costs out of that are now part of the personal costs in 22 and will be a relief also for 23 and the following year. As I already pointed out in the following slide, you see our balance sheet structure is very healthy. Our equity is at 1.448 billion, equity ratio at 65.1%, and also we have net liquidity and a strong cash flow. So from the financial side, I think we are ready for all the investments that are planned the coming years to enhance growth and to enhance also the profitability of our company. One very important decision of the Austrian government and the Austrian parliament was the indexation of passenger and landing fees as protection against inflation. So the classic tariff formula has been suspended until the end of 26 due to the COVID-related distortions, and the increases are now based on the average inflation rate on a yearly basis calculated from 1st of August to 31st of July, and an earlier return to the price model is only possible if the three-year average of traffic volumes exceeds the comparable figures of 2016 to 2019. The security fees include also the extra costs for the implementation of the entry-exit system. A very important decision that shows the confidence in the further development of our company was the decision of the Windham Group to build a third hotel at our site, a Vienna House Easy with 510 rooms. It's a very big hotel, and it shows that also third-party investors are convinced that our company will develop in a very good way in the coming years. Construction will start later this year, and the opening is planned already for spring 2025. And this will increase the room capacity on the airport up to 1,400 rooms, and will especially support our airport city strategy with conferencing center, seminars, and all the stuff. As I already pointed out, we have the plan to increase PV capacity to about 45 hectares at the site and in Bad Vöslau, our airfield south of Vienna. And the project will be finalized in the course of 2023. You have for sure monitored the development regarding the takeover bid by one of our co-shareholders, IFM. From the outstanding stake 3.37%, accepted the offer, 6.63% did not accept the offer, so 2/3 of our investors rejected the purchase offer, which we see as a clear vote of confidence in regard of growth, profitability, an attractive dividend policy, the strong destination of Vienna, and our sustainability policy. And we hope that we can convince these investors also in the years to come. So last but not least, summing up the financial guidance for 2023, revenue around 830, EBITDA higher than 325, net profit higher than 150, and CapEx approximately 135 million. So that's from my side, and if you have questions in regard of that, we can follow that after Julian did his presentation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to continue with traffic, our segment results, and a bit of an outlook for 2023. I think overall, we were very happy with the strong growth we saw mainly in the second half of 2022. Passenger numbers are the main drivers of our results, so therefore we are happy that we had 30 million passengers again in the group, and the result as Günther just presented to you. We expect passenger volumes to increase further in 2023. We gave our guidance in January with 26 to 27 million passengers in Vienna and 32 to 34 million in the group. We are very happy that January already went pretty well. We had roughly 10% below the passenger numbers in 2019. Malta was already above the 2019 numbers, and Košice as well. So overall, 2023 started pretty good. The outlook is positive, so we are very sure, or at least as sure as you can be in nowadays. So without any additional external major crisis to reach the 26 to 27 million passengers. I'm very curious to see the numbers in the second quarter. So I think Q2 with the summer schedule already in place, and it will give us a first indication if the weekend leisure passengers are back, how much of the business passengers are coming back, and summer should be in any case good. So far, what I get to know from our airline customers, bookings are really, really good for the remainder of the year. We are very well equipped for this passenger growth. 2022, I think, compared to many, many other airports, worked very, very well operationally for us. We started in January again with a very good result, and we intend to hire around about 350 new employees for the summer season, terminal operation, security operation, ground handling, and I have to say things look better now than probably 3 or 4 months ago. So we are very confident that we will have a good and solid summer operation again. A major focus is obviously retail. Around about 18-19% of our EBIT is coming from center management and retail. So we want to open some new shops and restaurants before summer. There will be new openings by Figlmüller, Do & Co, Billa, Burger King, Costa Coffee. So for the strong summer season, the offering for our passengers should be significantly better than it is today. And then the major change will be our southern enlargement, where I will show you some details later on. I think we covered that already. Let's move on. The airport segment, finally we were out of the crisis with a result of an EBIT of close to 50 million euros, external revenue 321 million, EBITDA 127 million. Major driver, obviously, passenger and aircraft related fees. One can see here as well, passenger related fees more than doubled, aircraft related fees plus 73%. So this shows as well that there is a change in the traffic pattern. The passengers are already closer to the 2019 figures than the aircraft movement, which is a good development, and it shows that on average the aircraft are bigger and the take up from passengers is higher than it used to be, which is overall a very good development for us. In 2022, we had roughly net revenue from airport charges by roughly 13 euros per passenger, and we expect 2023 to be somewhere between 14.50 and 15 euros per departing peg. So this shows you as well what Günther already mentioned, the increase in our airport charges. We had an increase of 5.8% with the 1st of January, which covers inflation until mid of 22, so there will be another significant increase then in January 2023. Let's move on to the ground handling and security services segment. This is the biggest challenge, undoubtedly. We reduced the minus here. The EBIT was still in the negative territory of minus 3.5 million. We are very determined to move this segment into the positive territory in the course of 2023. I'm very optimistic that we will manage to do so. On the one hand, we expect further traffic growth, and on the other hand, we managed to increase the average price quite significantly already. So there were some extraordinary price increases due to the inflation. And as I said, I think we have a very stable operation. Our ground handling services are doing an excellent job compared to most airports in Europe. And you can see here in January, we were the second most punctual airport or most punctual hub above 20 million passengers in Europe. We are very significantly more punctual than the other airports in Lufthansa Group, Munich, Zurich, Frankfurt. So I think this is a good basis to negotiate prices with customers, and that's what we are doing right now. As I said, we are determined to move this segment into the positive territory in the course of this year. We were already amongst the top performers in terms of punctuality and quality in 2022, and then our aim is to keep this position. As I said, on the one hand, this helps us to negotiate higher ground handling prices. On the other hand, I think this is one of the reasons as well, the good performance together with our home carrier Austrian Airlines, that the positioning of Austrian Airlines within Lufthansa Group changed in the course of the last 6 months. Austrian Airlines is the top performer in terms of punctuality in the group in the last 12 months, and even from a financial point of view, Austrian Airlines is doing much better now. I think overall Lufthansa managed very well to secure the so-called DACH market, so the German-speaking countries, and to increase ticket prices in this area very significantly. So this is a strong market for Austrian Airlines as well. Long haul does very well, and overall I think Austrian managed very well to increase the yield, as did the other airlines here in Vienna as well. So overall, I think there's a lot of room for optimism now for the coming months. Retail and properties, I already mentioned that there will be quite some openings in the course of the coming weeks. The most important area here in this segment is center management and hospitality, with close to 50% of the revenues in this segment. Parking more than doubled, excellent performance, and a market share of 31% in this segment, and rentals are up 7%. They didn't suffer that much during the pandemic, and then now they are up 7%, and they make up 21% of the revenues in this segment. Let's move on. So here you can see some of the openings which we intend to do in the coming months. The good thing is that duty free is already trading on the 2019 levels. So obviously there's an inflationary effect here. But despite the lack of Chinese and Russian passengers, duty free is doing very well. F&B sector is trading above the 2019 levels. The only area which is suffering is specialty retail. There we see the lack of Chinese and Russian passengers significantly, but there will be a major game changer now with the South Extension, which we intend to build until 2027. You can see here some pictures from the South Extension, 70,000 additional square meters, overall 10,000 additional square meters, F&B and retail, and we will, I'm sure we will manage to get some luxury retail to the airport, and we will increase our offering in terms of F&B as well. I think right now we don't have enough space for F&Bs, and we will have a centralized duty-free shop and not two duty-free shops on top of each other. So I think this is one of the important areas which will change. And the second one is that dwell time should increase very significantly as well. We will have 18 bus gates directly on the ground floor of this building. So people don't have to walk 400 meters to the gates. They will remain there and then go much later to the gates. We will have a centralized passport control, so we will manage to channel all the, you know, the high value non-Schengen passengers through the luxury shops. So overall this should increase both the quality for our passengers, but on the other hand the sales for us and our operators very significantly. And we expect that at least we will have an increase by 50 cents per passenger in terms of revenue from the fee by 2030. This should increase our revenues very significantly. Malta, exceptionally well. I think what is really important there is that we have a very close cooperation with government. I think there is a good mix now with low cost, which dominates already a market like Malta. But on the other hand, yeah, Malta, where the government is very important as well. Traffic in January was already above the 2019 levels. So the outlook for this year is strong as well. And we are very grateful for the support of government to the whole aviation sector and to the airport sector in Malta in particular. So we got in 2022 a subsidy of 12 million euros as a tax credit. And I think this is this shows the good relation to government and the importance government gives to the airport and the aviation sector. We are heavily investing in Malta as well. So we are going to build a hotel. We extend the business center there. We are going to increase the terminal and we are going to add some stands for the aircraft. So we prepare ourselves for further growth in Malta. And finally, yeah, just a bit of an outlook for the summer season. I don't want to go into too much detail there, but we see a lot of growth now already in towards Asia, although I think China will take a couple of months or until next year until there will be a significant growth. I think the whole Chinese travel industry will need a bit of time to prepare. So I think China won't be the game changer in 2023, but overall, long haul is doing very well. And we saw some increases from Air Canada, Ethiopian. Maybe we move on to the next slide. India is resuming flights from daily. So I think India is a strong growth market in the years to come with all the additional aircraft they are buying. Azerbaijan Airlines is coming to Vienna for the first time. And I think our three main carriers, Austrian Airlines, Ryanair, and Wizz Air, are all looking at some growth in 2023. So I think overall we are very optimistic. And I would like to finish off again with our forecast, 26 to 27 million in Vienna, 32 to 34 million in the group. And I think this forecast and this projection is standing on very solid ground. So that's it from my end, and I'm looking forward to your questions and our discussion.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and I open the room for questions.
Hello, good afternoon. Can you hear me? Here is Vladimira Urbankova speaking.
Yes, we do. Yes. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Yes, hello, good afternoon. I would like to have just a couple of questions for the beginning and to leave some more room for other participants. My question would be related to inflationary pressures, which we see across the board. So what do you expect from 2023 regarding inflation, in particular for your personal cost? And this will be partly offset with the airport charges increase based on inflation. And maybe here I didn't understand fully what will be the full year increase, because you indicated increase from January, and then you said that there will be some more increase, but I don't know how much from when and how it will translate for the full year 2023 increase in airport charges. Then one more question would be related to your tax rate. You mentioned 12 million tax credit subsidy. So I think this was maybe the reason for the fourth quarter tax with the opposite sign, so to say. What is the outlook for the tax rate for 2023? And maybe if you could be a little bit more concrete, you said that you are considering to increase payout ratio. What kind of payout ratio we are talking about for the year 2023? Thank you very much for taking my questions.
Yeah, thank you. Fine. Starting with your last question, I think it's a little bit too early to give a more detailed guidance on that. But if it's 60 now and we will increase it, so it will be definitely above 60. Where we then finally will end up is in any case linked to the business results of the year, and finally also to our proposal, which will then be made for our supervisory board and the General Assembly. But if you look at the balance sheet of the company and the outlook, I think it shows that we have room to maneuver. In regard of tax rate, you can firstly expect that the Austrian corporate tax in the first step will be reduced from 25 to 24% in 23. So this is in any case supportive for the result after tax. And besides that, we will see a somehow normalized tax rate. So in total, it might be a little bit higher than the Austrian one, given the Maltese tax rates. I don't think that we can expect that in Malta there will be another tax credit in 23, because this one was related clearly to the COVID problems. in regard of inflationary pressure, I think we have everything included in our outlook. So what can we expect? We had the first round of increase with 5.6% starting from 1st of January. And the negotiations for the collective agreement for the period 1st of January to 2022 to 31st of March 2023 will start in April and should be finalized end of April, beginning of May. And if you take the inflation figures of these 15 months, it is clearly a figure that is to a certain extent exceeding 10%. So personal costs overall in 23 compared to 22 will increase by roughly 20%, because we will also have, given the additional traffic and business, we will also have more people to a certain extent. So putting all together, the wage increases, the inflation, and also the additional headcount, we should come up with roughly 20% personal cost increase, but that is already built in our guidance for 2023. Nobody can exactly tell you now what the tariffs will be increased for the next period, but the next period then will include the inflation rate for August to July of 22 to 23, and as we all know, this is a period with a rather high inflation rate, so this will be built into the airport charges scheme.
Does this answer your questions, Vladimira?
So this increase we are talking for the period August 22, July 23, from when it will be effective, this higher inflation rate in charges?
1st of January 2024.
1st of January 2024. Okay, that's what I wanted to confirm. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
It's always several months after the
okay.
period.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any further questions?
Yeah, if I may step in, good afternoon, gents. I mean, it's to some extent linked to the upcoming increase of the payout ratio, but if you could just remind me of your general capital allocation policy, and I mean, under certain circumstances with very high, tailwinds from the market. I mean, might the payout ratio go up to, the entire profit, so a full distribution of net profit?
It's too early, really, to give you a firm assurance in that direction, because we have to have the figures then for 23, and then we can decide. But as I said, I think if things go as well as we expect, and given our capital structure, it would allow us substantial room to maneuver.
Yeah, because I guess you will continue to pile up cash. You're already in net cash territory, so I mean, what will be kind of the where will you deploy the funds?
I mean, what in very short time could be an option is that we start, as I said before, to repay the EIB loan. Because there is the interest rate at 4.6%, and we have to put collaterals to that. But it's penalized. So as long as interest rates are substantially below that, we would have to pay penalties to the EIB. But given the fact that EIB announced that two or even three rounds of interest rate adaptations lay ahead, it could be the case that we can act maybe later this year. And secondly, we are now starting substantial investments, as Julian showed, the South Extension and a lot of other activities. So most of it we are ready, or we are in the position to finance out of cash flows. And for the rest, I think we can also distribute some value to our shareholders.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Markus. Any more questions? Independently from the analyst or investor side? Final
if
call?
There are no more questions, may I have one additional question? Here is Vladimir speaking.
Of course, please go ahead.
Question, did you make this accounting exercise to calculate so-called clean EBIT or EBITDA, whatever, 22 in comparison to 21, just simply deducting all positive, negative one-offs, everything what you would characterize as one-offs, to give me two comparable figures for those years?
So roughly, I mean, that's not totally worked out to the final euro or cent. Roughly, the one-offs add up to a positive roughly 16 million euros.
16 million plus in 2022?
Yes, in 2022, yeah. One-offs from different kinds.
Okay, maybe can you elaborate, because we have learned that there was minus 12 in the last quarter, then minus 4.5 also on this receivables impairment. So how did we get to the positive 16? What was on the positive side so big?
The biggest chunk of it is the sale of a piece of land.
Yes.
With roughly 13 million surplus. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some of the COVID support, short-term work, and these are the main positions.
Okay, and how much, may I ask you, how much was the COVID support and short-term work?
No, sorry.
Okay, good.
So
net is 16 million plus in 2022.
Bernd can give you later the details, but I have many figures in my head.
I understand. For me, it is good to know the starting base, in fact, for calculating year 2023 without any one-offs. Just
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye.
Something else of interest? If not, then I think it's time to conclude this call. We thank you for your interest you show in our company. And we will be presenting traffic figures for February the week following the next one, and Q1 numbers in mid-May. All right, then for any other questions, please do not hesitate to come back to me, and all the best, wish you a nice afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.